Jesus said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word will never pass away. I'm thankful that I have heard the voice of God. I'm thankful that I've experienced the power of his word. I'm excited about being here tonight. I hope you're excited about being here. God is doing great and mighty things in our lives and in our church. And I'm just thankful for his presence, for his spirit being with us and helping us. And I enjoyed the message last night. Brother Jeremy was full of the Holy Ghost and was just, you could tell his burden for the truth and for the lost. And I want to say to every visitor that's among us tonight, we're glad you're here. Thankful for our visitors and hope that you feel welcome here at Victory Church. We're just trying to point people to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. We know that in Jesus Christ there is deliverance and there is salvation. They'll just look to him in faith. They can experience eternal life through him. He came to give us eternal life, to change us and transform us and take us to heaven and eliminate the sins in our lives. He can cleanse us and wash us and forgive us. And there's power in the blessed blood of Jesus Christ. And we hope you experience that power tonight. We want to go to God in prayer and ask him to bless us and help us. And we need his help. Without him, we could do nothing. So we need the presence of God and the power of God. And I hope you experience God's power here tonight. I hope and pray that the Holy Spirit will work in your heart. The Holy Spirit always points to Jesus. You know, Jesus said the Holy Ghost, the Comforter, when he comes, he would speak of me. And so the Holy Ghost always points us to Christ. And we hope that you experience Christ tonight. We want to go to prayer. Is there something on your heart before we reverence the Lord?
Night. We're thankful to see each and every one here. Thankful to see those that were on the altar last night. Thankful to see you back tonight. There's no other more important place you can be, no better place you can be than in the house of the Lord. Amen. And I'm glad you're here tonight. So the Lord has placed the message in my heart, and we'll get right into it. And if you turn to John chapter 3, as I was studying this and as I was preparing, the Lord was leading me. I believe there's no other chapter in the book, in the Bible, that summarizes and puts together the gospel, the entire gospel, than this chapter. There's everything in here. From the fall of man, to God's love, to regeneration, to salvation, to eternal life. It's all in here. Where I want to take the reading from tonight, where you guys are, while you are turning there, is the very last verse in this whole entire chapter, and it's not even part where Jesus Christ is speaking in this chapter, but it's where John is discoursing and he's talking with his followers, and they're discussing the baptism of Jesus, and they're saying that Jesus is baptizing, and they were questioning him, and as they were coming to him, he gives them a discourse on the fullness of Christ. And who Christ is. And if you ever feel puffed up or filled with pride, just go read what John said, the greatest man ever born of a woman, says about Jesus Christ. You're not as great as John the Baptist, so don't get puffed up. So I encourage you to read that. But he tells them that the fullness of Christ and who he is and everything that is available in him, the eternal life and also the consequences of rejecting. But I just want to read one verse tonight, and we'll read a couple other places, but my main thought tonight is John chapter 3, verse 36. He says, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." Lost friend, I told you we're going to get a little personal this week. And the thought that ran through my heart and through my mind all day, and even as I was preparing to come for this effort meeting, was that last phrase, the wrath of God abides on him. Lost friend, the wrath of God, as it's talking there, to him, is universal. It is all-encompassing. John here is talking in the third person. He's referring not to himself, not to his disciples or his followers. He's referring to everyone else that's not listed in this group of companies. So everyone else in the whole entire world, he uses him and he gets personal with him. The wrath of God abides on him. Lost friend, like I said last night, your iniquities have separated you. Well, guess what? The wrath of God abides on you for that separation. The wrath of God is abiding on you. So let's take a look at this. I want to look at what the wrath is. Wrath is anger. It is exhibited in punishment, that in God which stands opposed to man's disobedience, his resisting the gospel, or his hardness of heart, and sin, and it manifests itself in punishing the same. So those iniquities we discussed last night, this is the part where you are punished for them. This is a part two for last night. Those iniquities that we talked about, those iniquities that you stand separated from God for, there is a punishment that is coming for them. And that's the wrath of God. There is a punishment coming for it. And this anger, there's a couple different words used in the Greek that are translated anger and wrath. I'm not a Greek scholar, but the one used here is a less sudden in its rise. It is built up over time. It is built up. It is stored up, if you will. And the lasting effects of it, or its nature, is more lasting. So the wrath of God, his long suffering, those iniquities that have separated you from him, those iniquities that you have committed, he's just storing them up right now. They're being counted against you, if you will. And the punishment that is coming, it is eternal. I don't know if there's anything more lasting in nature than eternal punishment. But it is upon you. It is on you. That wrath is on you tonight. And it's built up and it's stored and it's waiting there for you. Your iniquities have angered God and there is a punishment coming for them. There is punishment coming for them. He cannot go without punishing sin. Now, he loves you, and we're going to get to that in just a second. He loves you. He loves you tonight. Oh, but he hates your sin that has separated you from him. He hates him. He cannot stand him. And that's what the punishment is. It's the punishment of you for those sins. So there's a punishment coming. So you might ask, why does God have wrath? So often today we hear messages of love and goodness and mercy. And there, don't get me wrong, God is love. He is merciful. He is gracious. But you cannot have that side of the coin without the other. You have to include his wrath and his love, because the wrath is really what makes his love so great, isn't it? Knowing that the wrath of God, the punishment of your sins is on you, but he loved you enough not to punish you. He made a way for you to get out of it. Oh, that's what makes the good news so good, isn't it? So he has wrath. But why? Because he is a holy and righteous lawgiver. His law, it paints a picture of his character and of his attributes. And it points us to walk in his image as we were created. He created us in his image. His law will direct us and lead us and guide us to where we can be like him. Now, we are sinners. We will never reach that. But his law directs us to where we can live according to his ways and according to his attributes. But we have transgressed, and there must be a punishment for those transgressions. Children, if your law, or if you do something wrong against your parents, guess what? They love you, but they're going to punish you. I am a living example of punishment. In a good way. Please don't take that the wrong way. But I tested and I tried and I did everything I could. I found myself in trouble. So as I said, he has wrath and he has love. And those two are perfectly consistent with each other. They're perfectly consistent. As I said, they're two sides of the same coin. He loves the sinner, but he hates the sin. And his wrath will never compromise his attributes of holiness and righteousness. They will never contradict each other. They are perfect in every way. His wrath is stored up for your iniquities, but his love provides forgiveness. His law provides forgiveness for you. We know, as it says in 1 John chapter 4, that God is love. And in this he manifested his love, that he would send his son, Jesus Christ, to die for us and be the propitiation of our sins. And herein is love. Here is love. Even though he's wrathful on the sin, here is love. He is love. This is the standard of love, that he would send his only begotten son to die for sinners, that we might not face that wrath, to make a way out. That is love. That is the definition, that is the gold standard of love. Anything less than that comes short. But he is the standard of love. He cannot ignore sin because he is holy and righteous, but he can forgive it because he is mercy and gracious, isn't he? His holiness and righteousness will not allow sin to be ignored. Something has to be done with your transgressions. Something had to be done with my transgressions. Something had to be done for your transgression, sinner. Something had to be done, and he made a way, but he was loving and he was gracious to provide a way to where they could be taken care of, to where you wouldn't face this wrath. We're going to get to that in a second. But this wrath is stored up. It's coming. It's being built up. This is the wrath. The anger of God is towards everyone who believes not on his Son. As it says there, he that does not believe on the Son, the wrath of God is on him. And this wrath is stored up for those that do not believe. Now, you can't blame anyone else for your own unbelief. You are the only one. If you here tonight and the wrath of God abides on you, you have not believed to the saving of your soul, you're to blame for it. Amen. You are to blame for it. He has made a way out. He has called you. He has convicted you of your sins. It's up to you now to believe. But I'm afraid some of us don't believe because we don't believe this wrath is real yet. You might be convicted. You might feel the burden of your sin. But I don't think you really know the wrath that's in front of you. I don't think you really know the wrath of God that will punish your sins. I don't think you really know yet the wrath of God that awaits you in the devil's hell. If you did, you'd already be up here on the altar. If you did, you'd already be bowed at your seat. Because it's real. It's coming. It is stored up against you. And you can face it at any moment. As I said last night, you're one breath away. One breath away. It can happen that quickly. But it's not because you don't feel the punishment yet. I want to read just real quick in Ecclesiastes chapter 8. Solomon speaks of this. In chapter 8, verse 11, he says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Though a sinner do evil 100 times and his days be prolonged, yet surely I know that it shall be well with them that fear God, which fear before him. But it shall not be well with the wicked, neither shall he prolong his days, which are as a shadow, because he feareth not before God. So men are totally set. Men's hearts are fully set on doing evil. And because they don't think that God is watching, they don't think he's punishing them, they continue to do it. Lost friend, please do not confuse the long-suffering God with his ignorance. Please don't. Because he's not ignoring you. He can see everything. He's there right now as you sit there as a sinner. He's with you right now. He's not ignoring you. Oh, but his long-suffering towards you. He's giving you one more chance. One more opportunity to hear the gospel. One more opportunity to hit your face before him before you meet him in eternity. He's giving you one more chance. One more chance. He's long-suffering towards you. But men will continually say, you read about it in the Psalms, in the 73rd Psalm, he says, how does God know? Is there knowledge in the Most High? Does he not know what we're doing? Psalms 94 says, yet they say, the Lord shall not see. The Lord sees everything. Amen. He was there, you were knit in iniquity, and he was with you there when you were made. He knows all, he sees all, he knows every single sin. And the punishment is just storing up against you. It's waiting for you. But there is a day coming. There is a day coming. There's a day coming where that payment's going to come due. There is a day coming where you will have to stand accountable for your sins before him. When you stand accountable before him, it will be too late. It will be too late. There will become a day where you have to pay for those sins. Where you have to pay the punishment for those iniquities. It's coming. Every single one of us will stand before the throne and give accounts in this work, accounts and works in this body, both good and bad. Every single one of us, saved and lost. The only difference between the saved and the lost is I've got Jesus Christ to stand on. What are you standing on tonight? Your sins and your iniquities guarantee punishment. They guarantee it. And that's the wrath of God. That is coming. I want to read over in Ezekiel chapter 7 about this day. He foretells the destruction of Israel. And the end and the desolation of Israel. And it's promised to them for their abominations, for their iniquities. So the same iniquities that we spoke about last night, he promises destruction for them. It's coming. I want to start reading in the 5th verse. Ezekiel chapter 7. He says, thus saith the Lord God, an evil and only evil, behold, is come. An end is come. The end is come. It watcheth for thee. Behold, it is come. The morning is come unto thee, O thou that dwellest in the land, the time is come. The day of trouble is near, and not the sounding again of the mountains. Now will I shortly pour out my fury upon thee, and accomplish mine anger upon thee. And I will judge thee according to thy ways, and will recompense thee for all thine abominations. And mine eyes shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity I will recompense thee according to thy ways and thine abominations that are in the midst of thee. And ye shall know that I am the Lord that smiteth. The Lord has appointed a day. He said it there. He described it as an evil day for those that have not believed. There is an evil day coming for you. There is an evil day. He says the end has come. It's watching you. It's waiting for you. It's just sitting there. There's a day that we're all going to face. There is an appointment you will not be late for. You will be on time. You will stand before the throne the moment God wants you to. You're not going to miss it. We can cancel doctor's appointments and dentist visits and reschedule them because we don't want to go. You may not want to go to this one, but you're going to make it. You will be there. You will be there. You cannot fight it. And again in Ecclesiastes, it says that it comes upon men as if a fish is caught in a net. I believe it's Ecclesiastes chapter 12 that says that. But it's waiting for you. It's there appointed for you. You'll either face it in death, or if you're still alive, you'll face it when the Lord comes back. Amen. You're going to face it, though. You're going to stand there. You're going to stand accountable. There will be a punishment coming. One of those two ways for your iniquities. And he calls it the day of trouble. The day of trouble is near. And as I was studying this and preparing, a song came to my mind. There's a sad day coming by and by. There's a sad day coming when sinners shall hear their doom. Depart from me, I know ye not. Are you ready for that day to come? Are you ready for that terrible day? Are you ready for that terrible day? Or are you looking forward to it as a great day? I'm on the side that's looking forward to it. It's going to be a good day for me. It's going to be a good day. I can rejoice. I can face that day without any fears. I can face that day because I know what's going to happen in judgment. I'll give an account for those sins. But he'll mark me justified. The blood has covered you. Oh. Lost friend, you need that blood tonight. You cannot stand on anything else. We already know what you're standing on is your iniquities. It's standing on your, what you have done. That's all you have to show is your iniquities when you stand before him. As I said last night, you can't stand on anybody else's merit. You can't stand on your own, your mom, or your dad's, or anything like that. Because this day is coming. This day is coming. And he will judge you according to thy ways. And he will recompense. That recompense, in layman's terms, the punishment shall fit the crime. The everlasting judgment, the everlasting punishment, the penalty for sins, you will get what you deserve. I deserve that penalty. I'm not standing up here trying to yell at you. Please don't take it that way. I hope you can see it as I'm trying to sound a warning to you. I stood accountable for this. I faced this penalty. Each and every one who was ever saved has faced the same penalty. The only difference is we look to the one who can take care of it, who can remove it from us, and that's Jesus Christ. We look to him. That's all you got to do tonight. As I said last night, you just got to let go. Just look to him. He'll take this wrath away from you. This is awaiting your eternal future. Please understand that. Please understand that the wrath of God awaits you. Oh, the wrath of God awaits you. I've had God mad at me just for mess ups here and there. I can't imagine what the eternal punishment of God is going to be like. None of us here can imagine it. I felt the chastening hand of God. I know some of you had. Aaron, you're shaking your head. Everybody here knows what that's like. I felt the pains of hell, but the pains of hell that I felt will not compare to what it's really like. So there's judgment, there's penalty. He will judge you according to his ways. You'll be accountable for your sins based on the standard of his truth and his laws. That's where we're going to come to. And you will fall short. And as I said last night, you break one, you broke them all. Lying stands in the same punishment as murder. Does it not? You say, no one in here is a murderer. I hope not. But if you're lost, you stand accountable for the same sins. You will face the same punishment, let's be honest, as Hitler. Let's be honest. If you're lost here tonight and you've told one lie, you will go to hell just like Adolf Hitler. I wish I could sugarcoat it. I wish I could, but it's that real. This is the truth. Oh, God, please help them. And there will be no pity, as it says there. Mine eye will not have pity. I will pour out my fury upon you. God, help them. I will pour out my fury upon them. The scriptures talk about God having a cup full. It's full of his wrath. It's full of the mixture. You can read about it in Psalm 75. Revelations 14 and 10 says, they shall drink this mixture. And that mixture, the cup of indignation, is torment and fire and brimstone. I'll be a fire and brimstone preacher. So be it, because it's real. You need to hear about it tonight. Because this awaits you. Please understand that this is in your future. This could be your next breath. This could be your next breath. There will be no pity. There will be no more mercy. His pity and mercy is extended to you now. Take advantage of it. Please take advantage of it. It's reaching out to you now. His arm is not short, as I said last night. He's reaching out to you with the hand of mercy. Just reach it. Take hold of it. Because after this, there is none. There is no mercy. The long suffering runs out. And all there is wrath. Please do not waste this opportunity. This altar's always open. Please. Please don't wait. There's no more pity when that day comes. It will be the vindication of God's ways. You'll know exactly who it is that's punishing you. You will know exactly what you've done. You will give an account for every single thing you've ever done, and even things you've forgotten about will be brought to your mind. It'll be brought to your mind. His wrath and his power will be on full display. If you're questioning if God's real right now, he's real when you face him. He'll make that known to you. Unfortunately, then it's too late. He said, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that he is Lord. But when that happens, it's too late. Now's the time to do it. Don't wait till he comes back and you stand in punishment to proclaim that he is God. Call out to him tonight. Reach out to him. But in this, you'll know that it's God. Not only will you know that it's real and who it is that's punishing you, but you will see his righteousness. You will see that you are unrighteous. You will see that he is a righteous God. There'll be nothing hidden about it. You will know, and you will see the error of your ways. But unfortunately, as I said, it's too late then. He's showing you now. He's showing you now. He's convicting your heart. He's showing you this wrath and this condemnation that sits upon you tonight. You read down a little further. In verse 19, he says, their silver and their gold shall not be able to deliver him in the day of wrath of the Lord. They shall not satisfy their souls, neither fill their bowels, because it is the stumbling block of their iniquity. What do you say? The love of money is the root of all evil? Well, it's a stumbling block to some people. And no matter how rich you are, you will still go to hell. You can't buy your way out of it. Ask the rich man how well he's off tonight because he was rich. They're not helping him at all. They didn't buy his way out of hell. He's there right now, still waiting on that drop of water. He's experiencing the wrath. He's experiencing this torment, this cup of mixture that was poured out. He's experiencing all of it. Go down a little further in verse 25. He says, destruction cometh, and they shall seek peace, and there shall be none. Once his wrath gets started, there's no stopping it. Once it begins, it's not going to end. It is eternal. You think we have an idea of how long time is? You have no idea. You have no idea how long eternity is. Our human minds cannot fathom it. But once it gets started, it's never ending. It is eternal. Please do not be as one of those crying out for peace and can't find it. Please do not be one of those crying out for the rocks and the mountains to fall on them, to hide them from the Lamb of God. Please do not be one of those. Please. I'm begging you tonight. Please don't be one of those. I'm almost done with the wrath, I promise. But I just want you to understand. I want you to understand what the punishment is for iniquities and sin to a holy God. And what awaits you. This isn't a game. This is not a game. We like to have fun and laugh and do things in this world and have a good time. I wish we were having a good time tonight, but I have to preach this. This is hard to preach. This is hard to preach. But I want you to know, I would be doing you a disservice if I did not proclaim the whole truth, even of God's wrath. You must know about it. So let's go back to John chapter 3. He says, the wrath of God abides on him. And this abideth, as it says there, is not to depart, to continue to be present. No matter where you go, what you do, who you talk to, it's always there. How many of you, when you were lost, remember what that felt like? You couldn't get rid of the burden. You found no peace. No matter where you went, no matter who you, what you did, you felt it. You felt the wrath. I don't care if you're here tonight. You can run to the bathroom at the altar car. It'll still be with you back there. Trust me, I felt it back there. You might get a little ease for the moment. You might be out of the uncomfortable scene of seeing God's people and run from the Holy Spirit, but the wrath of God is still on you if you die back there. You can't get away from it. It abides on you. It's there with you. It's currently on you. And if you're called at this moment, this very moment, if this next breath is your last, you'll face it. It doesn't matter if you are in a church service. It doesn't matter if you are gathered around God's people. If your next breath is your last, you will die and go to hell. You will face this wrath. Amen. A couple verses early in John chapter 3. It says, he that believeth not is condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. As you sit here tonight, you are condemned to go to hell for your sins. You are condemned already. And again, he uses that he. It's an all-encompassing, universal, whosoever does not believe, the wrath of God is on you and you are condemned already. You stand guilty. Your sentence has already been pronounced. It's already been pronounced on you. The judge has already banged the gavel. You're guilty. But it doesn't have to stay that way. Amen. It doesn't have to stay that way. Praise the Lord. Amen. And that's where he gets to. That's what makes this. And now we're getting to the part that makes this whole sermon so good. It's that first part. And I always want to close with the good news. I always want you to know that there's good news available. And if you believe, there is eternal life available for you tonight. You do not have to face this wrath. There is a way out. But he that believes, again, he, whosoever, anybody who will believe on him can have eternal life. But as we said last night, you must get to the point where you say, I have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You can leave here tonight saying, I've believed. I have eternal life. It's that personal. You can know. And yet it is available to you tonight. And this everlasting life is without end, never to cease. Nothing about this word has an end to it. It is forever and ever and ever and ever and ever. I can't put enough evers in it. That's how everlasting it is. It will never end. It begins the moment you're saved and it goes through all of eternity. My everlasting life started on March 24, 2002, right over there. That's where I passed from death unto life. That's where I know that the wrath of God rolled away from me. It no longer abides on me. But I have eternal life. Praise the Lord. It's available to you tonight. You can say that July 18, 2016 is when my eternal life began. You can have that day. This can be your time and your place. I've got mine. There's a lot of people in here who have that time and a place. I've got mine. You can have yours tonight. But you got to go to Christ. You got to go to Him. You have to believe that He is. And He'll take it away from you. I love what he says in John chapter 5:24. He says, "He that heareth my word and believeth on me that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." So as you sit here condemned tonight, I sit here with everlasting life. Right now, my soul is alive. I have passed from death unto life. I have eternal life right now. Whereas you are, if you're called out with the next breath, you'll go to hell. If the Lord strikes me dead in this pulpit, I know where I'm going. Praise His name, I've got everlasting life. I'm going to be with Him. And I'll see you guys there. Because I know some of you have it too. But lost friend, if He took me out of this pulpit tonight, I want my last words to be their salvation in Jesus Christ. Remember Him. If you forget everything about me after this week, that's fine. Just remember there's life in Jesus Christ. But you have to believe. No one can believe for you. It's personal. I know Brother Tim says it all the time. It's personal. One writer says, according to the gospel, faith is a personal trust in a personal Savior. No act can be more personal than the act of faith. It is as personal as dying. As every human being dies for himself, so every man must believe for himself. He must trust Christ for himself. You must bow at His cross for yourself. You must go to Him for yourself. No one else can do it for you. No one else can do it for you. You must look at Him. You must see Him taking the wrath of God for you. He took it for you. He is your substitute. He's my substitute. He died not just for my sins, but the propitiation of the sins of the entire world. Amen. You have to see Him, though, there for you. You have to see Him there for you, taking your place. The wrath, the condemnation, the heaviness that you feel now, you have to understand that He already took it for you. Amen. He took the condemnation for those sins. You just got to give it to Him. But also, you have to see Him up there because of you. Because you are a sinner. Because of those iniquities, He is up there. You have to see Him up there for you and because of you. And once you get saved, you don't know whether to rejoice or break down and cry again because of that. Praise His name. He took it for me, but oh, my Savior did it because of me. It still hurts me. It still hurts that my sins put Him up there on that cross. But oh, I'm so thankful He took it for me. And oh, what a great punishment is coming. If He sent His only begotten Son to die a horrific, sin-laden death for you, and you do nothing with it. And you do nothing with it. As I said, herein is love. This is the definition of love, that He sent His Son to die for you, and you do nothing with it. What is the wrath to come going to be like? I pray you never experience it. I pray my worst enemy wouldn't experience it. And that's why I'm up here tonight, because I don't want you to experience it. Heed the warning tonight. I know there's other preachers who could have done a better job than I could. But just heed the warning. Please heed the warning. Listen tonight. The wrath of God is on you, and it'll stay on you until Jesus Christ takes it away. But you got to go to Him. Aaron, let's get a song. I got a couple more things and I'm going to close. I love Pilgrim's Progress. Christian, the opening scene, he's standing there condemned, brokenhearted in the city of destruction, knowing wrath is coming if he does not leave. He's standing there. He knows his family has turned his back on him. His family is making fun of him. Everybody in the town is discouraging him. But he's so heavy. This burden on his back, he can't do anything with it. But he knows destruction is coming. Evangelist, little preacher, comes and says, Christian, do you see the yonder wicket gate out there? No, I can't see it. Well, do you see the light? I see it. Make straight way for it. And you'll go through the gate, but go through the light. And Christian, being so condemned, so brokenhearted, he put his fingers in his ears. He took off running, screaming, life, life, eternal life. That's where I'm going. I need it. I got to get out of this city. Oh, I don't want to face this destruction that's coming. I got to go to the cross. Oh, and when he gets there, that burden rolls off his back down in the tomb, never to be seen again. He sees the one he put up there. He sees the Savior up there for his sins. And he stands there and weeps. Oh, but he walks away. He gives three leaps of joy and screams, Hallelujah. Oh, I know what it's like to give that leap. Do you? Do you know what it's like to go to the cross and have those burdens rolled away? And you run out of here jumping and leaping, screaming, Hallelujah. That's a fantastic book, by the way. Read it. As we prepare to sing this next song, I want to do something. The Lord laid this on me and it hit me pretty heavy. As we sing this next song, there's a verse in Revelation chapter 6, verse 17. It says, For the great day of His wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Tonight as we sing this song, if you can stand on that day, if you know that wrath of God is not upon you, you know what your judgment holds, if you know that you've been appointed to salvation and not the wrath to come, I want you to stand. But if you haven't, I want you to remain seated. I want you to remain seated because you cannot stand on that day. But if you can stand on that day beyond a shadow of a doubt, knowing that the blood has covered you, I want you to stand. We can go ahead and stand now. Lost friend, if you think this is bad now, just imagine when we're parted left and right and we go off into everlasting life and you're ushered off into eternal punishment. Just imagine what that's going to be like. You're here now surrounded by people who love you and want to see you saved. So I encourage you, while you've got this opportunity, and pity and mercy is being extended to you while we sing this song, come, make an altar where you're at. Come to this altar, go to the bathroom and pray. I don't care, just make an altar somewhere. But if you cannot face that judgment, if you can't stand on that day, I want you to remain seated unless you're coming to make an altar. All right.